You're listening to the First Half Parenting Podcast, hosted by Paul and Sherry Peterson.
All right, I'm Paul.
And I'm Sherry.
And we're here to do the third episode in the First Half Parenting Podcast journey. How you doing, babe?
I am a little busy because is the end of the school year, and I have never-ending sign-ups for summer camp and emails for trips, and I mean, it just, and re-sign up for school, that's deadline, and yeah, it's, May for me is like December.
So we discovered that a while ago, that the two busiest seasons in a parent's life are typically December and May. Because for some reason, schools are like, hey, let's do everything yes. we can in December, and then let's do it again in May. Because by May, we will have recovered from December, and then they do it again, so it takes us the whole summer to recover.
And not like we do want to see our kids perform and do their stuff, but everybody has a performance that you have to try to meet.
Right.
And all of the sports end at those times. Like, everything shuts down in December and May.
So December and May.
You're just going crazy. Yeah.
And we live in Alaska, which is like the land of the eternal sun.
Mm.
The sun doesn't go down. So we, like, literally it's 11, 12 o'clock at night and the sun is up and I get up pretty early. And so, I mean, I got up 4 o'clock this morning and the sun was up. So it goes down. Like a really stupid hour.
I don't think it
goes down.
If it goes down
at all.
No, I don't think it does.
Yeah.
But it's really funny because I asked one of our kids this week, because I noticed it was in the morning and seemed kind of tired. And she looked at me and she's like, Mom, it's 5 in the morning, right?
Right.
And she's getting ready. And I was like, you know, how was your night? Did you sleep good? And she's like, Mom, I opened my eyes this morning at 5 a.m. and she's like, the only thing I could see was the sun shining in at 5 o'clock. And she was so annoyed because the sun was shining in her eyes when she went to sleep. So
no, it's
an adjustment, right?
Yeah.
So we're kind of living on tired right now, I think. But loving every minute of the adventure.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we would just say to you parents, hey, if you're a parent, you know what tired feels like. This is what we do, right? Which is why it's important that you listen to the last conversation we had on episode 2, which we talked about, you know, taking care of yourself, because
mm-hmm.
parents who are consistently tired, you're not going to be at your best in the parenting game, which is exactly what your kids need. They need you to be at their best. So that's important. All right. Well, hey, today we're going to talk about the second baby step in the first half parenting journey. But first, we want to answer a listener question. Julie wrote, giving undivided attention to stories that never seem to end when I know there's so many other things I should be doing. That is so difficult. I know it's important to our kids that they're heard and I want to hear them, but sometimes I wish I could have done that on fast forward.
Yeah. You and I both have occasionally looked at each other and been like, I can't even get a breath in
right.
when they're talking, right? You're like, oh my goodness. I think the thing that I would look at as a parent...
Well, can I just say, like, first of all, if you're a parent and you felt this, you are not alone. Every single parent in the world,
yes.
with the possible exception of Mary, the mother of Jesus, has felt this very same way. Like, I, in my mind, am absolutely disconnected from what you're saying to me.
Yes.
All right? So it's not abnormal, but the question is, how do you engage your child when they're telling this never-ending story?
Yes. I feel like, and I have done, you know, I'll catch myself. They're like 3/4 of the way through. And I remember it was about volleyball and I don't know anything else. And then I feel horribly guilty that I just am not even connecting. I'm barely making eye contact because your mind is somewhere else. And so I found myself, you know, almost to the end and just being like, I feel like such a bad mom, you know, and so I just have to stop them and say, typically I will say, hey, you know, Ashton, I'm just not engaged. I have my mind, I'm making dinner and I have my mind on this project that I need to do later tonight that I want to try to remember, you know, just, I've got multiple things running at that point. And I really do want to hear her story. So if it's not, for me, if it was not like I have to stop because it's important and it's a, you know, it's hugely important to her, obviously, but if it's not going to matter at the moment, then I just ask her, like, hey, could we pick this up maybe as I'm driving you to volleyball, or, you know, as we're, you know, getting ready to go to bed, could you tell me your story then? So I really try to, and then I, you know, you need to remember to come back around and grab that story so they feel important. But it's so much better. I feel like as a mom, it's so much better to wait, you know, if I can't fully get the whole story and engage with them. So,
so you said, like, I, you said there's basically two kinds of stories. One that requires you to stop everything and listen right now.
Sure. Like, you have to determine, right? I mean, right. You would know as a mom, like, if you hear, you know, something happened at school that was like, you know, it stops your attention,
right,
or catches your attention, you know, you're like, okay, I need to stop what I'm doing and listen to my child. But if it's like, hey, Johnny wants me to go over to her house, his house tonight and play ball, you know what I'm saying? Like, that might not need to happen the second that you're engaged in three other possible things that you're doing. So,
so I think there's a quote that sits in my office. It says, the difference between being heard and being loved is so small that the average person does not know the difference. Right? The difference between being heard and being loved is so small the average person doesn't know the difference. In other words, one of the easiest and most profound ways to communicate love is to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And that means I'm going to put my phone down. I'm going to stop doing something else. You are my main effort. I'm going to look you in the eyes. I'm going to engage with you. That demonstrates love. And quite frankly, our kids know that. They've called me on it. Like, if I'm on my phone or something stupid, you know, they'll call me on it. So,
well, I
agree. There's stories where you got to stop everything and fully engage. And then there's moments where, like, buddy, I cannot give you my full attention right now, and I really want to. So can we talk about this after supper?
Yeah, I think that they're, yeah, you definitely, I think communicating with your child, even as if they're, you know, an adult, like, I think respecting them and their thoughts and their, you know, what they have to say, for you just not to pay attention. I mean, I know, like, we live in a technology society, and it's terrible for a child to want to talk to their parent and the TV is catching the attention, or the phone, or the, you know, whether it be your own personal time or whether it be work time. You know, I just feel like kids deserve our undivided attention at points.
And it may not be important to you, but it isn't important enough to them that they want to tell the biggest person in their life.
Well, and I mean, think about this. They care enough to share that with you,
well,
you know?
True.
So if you want to develop that friendship with your child, you need to show them that you care.
So bottom line is give them space. You have to give them space to tell the story. You have to give them time and energy, but you get to pick when.
Yes.
Right? Say, it's either a story is going to happen now or it's going to happen later, but make sure it happens later.
Yes. Okay. Make sure you hear your child.
That's good.
Yeah.
Thanks, babe.
Thank you.
All right. Sure. Thank Julie. All right. So today we're talking about the second baby step. If you don't know, we have identified six baby steps in the first half parenting. Babe, you want to tell us what they are?
Yeah. So first off, you want to take care of yourself. And last week we talked about creating a...
No, we're talking about that this week.
I was going to say, that
does
not sound
right. Yeah, last week we talked about taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
So last podcast.
Was that baby step number one?
Baby step number one.
I was thinking that was two. All right. So anyway.
This is embarrassing, babe.
No, it's not. So yes. All right. So today we're going to talk about number two, creating a great environment. Number three is become the teacher. Number four, you need to get a PhD in your child. Number five, learn how to discipline. And six, we call mulligans.
Call mulligans. And if you're not a golfer, just either Google it or hang in there until our sixth episode. It's worth the wait. So, hey, all right, well, let's talk about creating great environments, babe. So in the ebook that we wrote on this, I'm going to share it as a resource for you guys. We define environment as the sum total of everything and everyone in your home. In other words, what does your home look like, sound like, smell like, feel like? That is the environment of your home. And I use an illustration. We talk about the difference between a doctor's office and a Linkin Park concert, or a Taylor Swift concert, if you will. There's a massive difference. There's things you would do in a doctor's office that would just be inappropriate. At a Linkin Park concert. And there are certainly things you would do at a Taylor Swift concert that would be inappropriate for a church or, a parent-teacher conference, right? So every environment which you find yourself has a certain set of, it just feels a certain way. There's things on the wall, there's smells, there's sounds, there's people. All of those things together create the environment. So, babe, I'm going to hit you with this. If you just had to create, if you had to describe our home environment in a word, as it is today, right?
Okay.
What are some words that you would use to describe our home environment?
So today,
I would say it depends on who's home.
Well, that's funny. That's right. Very true.
It's true.
I can have a home of peace and tranquility, and it smells amazing. I've got some, essential oil maybe, or some, maybe even cookies in the oven, I have some jazz music on. It's clean, it's organized, and then and this is all before 2:30, and then all of my kids come home and there is now loudness. There is just loud talk, loud everywhere. And then Paul will come home, and then it'll be even more loud. No, not so much the smells, but there'll be stuff, they drop their stuff everywhere, and you have to kind of go back and pick up. And
so
it just gets...
Overall, though, how would you... I mean, we were talking about this the other day with our kids. How would you overall describe the environment of our home, and why?
Well, I agree. So I feel like our home is organized. I feel like it's... peaceful. I think it's organized because we have a pickup time, before bed. We really try to have things cleaned up, tidied, picked up. We all have our things that we do. I think that it's peaceful. I try to, and even like our home now, the kids love to put on just peaceful music, whether it be jazz or
in the mornings. Like when I get up, I'll get up before everybody else. I'll do yoga.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll turn on jazz music.
Yeah.
And so when people come downstairs for the morning, it's just quiet, soft jazz music playing.
Yep. Yep.
Creates an environment.
Yeah. I think those, if things are, I think organization is a big thing too. Cause if you're not having things put where they belong, it just gets frustrating, and it causes tension, and it might cause some yelling. I think those three are really, and I think we're happy. I think we're a happy home at the at the current moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. So, one thing we realized early on was that you, Dad and Mom, you are the creator of the environment in your home. You create it. You'll do it intentionally, or you'll do it by unintentionally, but you do create the environment in your home. And then you manage And you protect the environment of your home. Like, you create the way it feels, and then the things that you do, and the smells, the sounds, the things on the wall, like all of this, it sustains the environment in your home. And that is something that you do on purpose or otherwise. Now here's the thing. I think what's so cool about being a parent is that you get to decide the way your home is going to sound, look, and feel. That is a decision that, as a parent, you get to decide that. Now, here's the scary thing. If you're not thoughtful about it, if you don't sit down and think through and talk through how do we want our home to sound, feel, smell, look, if you don't thoughtfully engage through that process, you will end up unintentionally creating the home environment with which you're most familiar, and that is the home in which you grew up.
Yes.
So if you're not thoughtfully saying, hey, I want my home to be a place of peace, or a place of laughter, or a place of thoughtfulness, or a place of, you get to pick. But if you don't intentionally pick, one day you're going to realize, oh my God, this looks a lot like where I grew up. It sounds like the home in which I grew up. It looks like the home in which I grew
and
up.
I want to just throw in there, that doesn't always mean that that's a bad thing.
No,
I mean, some
not.
Of it is a good thing. Sometimes if you grew up in a very organized home, you bring that into your home and it's a good thing. So it's not always a bad connotation.
So it would be, I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, that's fine. I'm just, you know what I'm saying.
It would be a bad it would be a bad thing if it was organization at the expense of peace.
Yes, yes.
If people were always yelling because the home was not organized, right? I mean, we've seen homes that are absolutely spotless, but everybody's terrified in the home.
Well, yeah. Do I sit? Do I touch? Do I? Yeah, right. Right.
So,
right.
I mean, again, you get to pick. Maybe that's the environment of your home. It's super clean, but no one has fun in your home.
Yes.
And on the other hand, we've seen homes that have lots and lots of fun, but good Lord, like, you take your shoes off at the door and you go to leave an hour later, you can't find them anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But yes.
So, again, that's the environment that you create. So, it's incredibly significant responsibility that you have as a parent to create, manage, and protect that environment.
But it's a, I want to just throw in here, it's a fun, like, it's really fun to be able to create that environment, right?
Yes.
I mean, like, the sky's the limit. And I just think it's such a great, like, if you really think about it, it's not a task, it's a joy to be able to create that environment.
It is a great joy. And here, the other thing too, is you can change it.
Yes.
Like, we have had seasons in our life where, mm-hmm. I have struggled sometimes with patience and had a tendency towards anger. And we have sat and identified that and worked to address that and change that. And our home has evolved. I mean, just this weekend, I was talking with Reagan, our 19-year-old, and she has said our home, like, and it wasn't like our home was abusive and terrible, but it was like, I have a tendency to be impatient and aggressive, and I have changed. Our home has absolutely changed because we realized, like, oh, this isn't something, we don't want the environment of our home to feel like this.
Right. Well, and there was a moment too, you know, I mean, if we're going to spill our stuff here, right. You know, where, listen, I had 6 kids and laundry was just, I mean, I loved my kids, and to me, if I could get a load of laundry in or two, it was great. But if I didn't get it all done, it was okay too, because I wanted to be with my kids. But it was at the expense of, I can't find a pair of socks, or I can't find that outfit that I want on that child for that day. And then it caused frustration, and, you know, I was just, yeah, it just causes a lot of,
well, you went, can I spill the beans a little bit more on that?
Sure.
You went through a season where, like, you are, like, you have a, like, you want things done right.
Mm-hmm.
You like, when you do things, no one ever has to go back and do it again. In fact, when you do things, most people look at it and be like, holy crap, that's amazing, right? And so that, that applied to laundry. So, like,
right.
I would try to help, or some of the other kids would try to help, and it wasn't enough. And so we became, there was a spirit of frustration. You were frustrated because it wasn't laundry. We were frustrated because it wasn't, and we were trying to work through it. And we sat down one day, we said, this is not working.
Right.
We got to change the environment. And
yes.
And so you did. And now guess what? Everybody does their own laundry.
Right. Well, yes.
Well,
yes.
I mean, they should. They're old enough.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's been happening for several years. Like, people have just, we realized that the environment in our home is not what we like. So we sat down, talked about it.
Yes.
And we changed it.
Yes. Which I will just put in there. You know, I want to throw this in. Change is not mom's, and it could be for dads. I'm just speaking from a mom's perspective. It is difficult. Like, I had a very, very hard time with that. When you want it done a certain way, and you know that probably it's not going to, and I mean, I was teaching, you know, I taught our kids, because I was like, okay, if we're going to do this, then I want to teach you how to do it right. But as a mom, relinquishing that task to your children is very difficult.
Hey, so, and how are you doing now?
I mean, I'm pretty good. I notice, like, I will sometimes check up on a few things, you know, like, I'm very particular with whites. And when I see whites starting to look like they're not white anymore, I'm like, what is going on? So I go to our, you know, I go to the child and say, okay, show me how you're doing the whites again. You know, so I'm much better. I'm much, and I think I realize at this point in life, like, they really need to know how to do this anyways. It's not fair of me to do that. But I just want to say, what we're talking about is, I grew up with my mom doing laundry for all of us.
Right.
We didn't do our own laundry. So, you know, again, I was bringing my, how I was raised, the environment that I was raised in, which was good. My mom was very particular. Our laundry looked great, but she raised us where she did it. So I didn't really have, you know, there again was, we didn't see kids really doing their stuff. So I brought that into our home, which caused quite a bit of chaos until I got, you know, till we had that meeting and got it under control. So
we've mentioned a few times, like, we had a meeting, we sat down, and we'll talk about this in a future podcast, but we have two meetings in a normal week. We have two meetings every week. One is a date. We're going to go on a date. And the other is our coin, we call it our coin and calendar meeting. And that's where we talk about, like, the business of the home. Because quite frankly, your home is a business, right? You've got income, you've got expenses, you've got personnel, you've got processes and systems. And if you don't manage the business side of your home, it will fall apart, right? So the date is for laughter, love, romance, all that fun stuff. The coin and calendar meeting is where we sit down and we do the business. We talk our money, we talk our calendar, we talk, like, the infrastructure of our home, right? And so that meeting is important. Babe, I think at some point you and I had this conversation, and it was, if we keep doing what we're doing, are we going to like what we create? Like, if we keep acting like this, if we keep producing these kinds of actions, if we keep talking like this, if the frustration levels continue like they are we going to like what we create? And I think that if you are a parent, it's a fair question to ask about the processes in the environment of your home. If we keep doing what we're doing, are we going to like what we create? Are children going, are they going to want to come back? Are they going to want to stay? Are they going to want to be in this home if we continue to create this kind of environment? And so I think it's a fair question to ask. Now look, here's the good news. The environment in your home, the way your home feels, right, is what you've created by the actions you've taken. Like, you create an environment by the actions you take, right? It's the words you speak. It's the things you do with your hands. It's the eye rolls or the eye aversions. It's the actions you take create the environment in which you live. All right. And so here's good news. If you don't like the environment in your home, you can change it. Here's how I know. You created the environment that currently exists. If you've created it, you can change it. And I mean, I know we've done that. We've created environments that we love, and we continue to this day. And we've also created environments that weren't great. And so we change them, and we change them by doing different actions.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it can go, you know, I'm thinking, like, if you have small children, you know, you create an environment of cleanup time, you know, like, you can start to begin to help them understand organization, right? By saying, hey, every night when our kids were little in our house around 6:30 after dinner, I would sing the cleanup song. You know what I'm saying? Clean up,
everybody, everywhere. Clean up, everybody do your share.
So, I mean, I would sing that. They were little, you know, and they would jump in with me. We'd make it fun. You know, so that was little when they were little. And so we'd put everything away, but it was teaching them, hey, let's get our house back to organization again.
And now these kids do it on their own.
They do it on their own. But you know what I find interesting
is...
They
still want us to sing the cleanup song?
No. Okay. No. But we will put on fun music.
That's
so
totally
I will
true,
tell
babe.
You, parents, make your home a fun place. So when it's time to...
Oh my gosh.
You know, when it's time to clean up, I mean, we listen. Our house.
Because I'm happy. Dun.
Our house becomes like we're all singing at the top of our lungs. The music's playing loud.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Like it. We can be doing dishes. We can be everybody picking up their stuff. And I just think it's, you know, again, you create that environment that you want. And I would just say, don't make your cleanup time a drudge. For a while, I tend to be more, hey, let's get the job done. Let's move. Let's go. Like I'm a driver. And I realized like the kids were like, I mean, it could turn into, you know, maybe a crying session because they were tired. They didn't want to help. And so I quickly realized we've got to make this an enjoyable experience. So cut some music on if music is your thing, or, you know, I don't know, tell some jokes while you're working, or, you know, I just don't, you just, as a parent, you got to figure out what, again, that environment you want. But I would say make it a fun environment, right?
That's so good. I still tend to be a driver and not as much fun. But the crazy thing is once the music's going and everybody's down, I'm like,
I disagree with that.
Well, then I have fun and then I'm dancing, you know, I have a good time.
I'm probably the one to call you out and say, stop playing with the kids and get to work. That is the truth now. Come on.
But the bottom line is, parents, like, the environment in your home is, you created it. Like, you created the way your home feels. And if you hate it, you can change it.
Yes.
And you change it by the actions you take. So I just want to get, like, super practical here, right? And we're going to tell you how to change your environment. And it's so simple that you're going to hear it and you're going to be like, well, duh. It's really simple, but it's not necessarily easy. Babe, you alluded to this earlier, right?
Right.
So you want to change the environment in your home. Here's how. Number one, this is super important. Decide what's important to you.
Yeah.
Write it down. Sit down with your spouse if you have one. If not, sit down. Or you could even sit down with your kids if they're old enough. And decide what is important to you.
I had to figure out when I was with the whole laundry thing. I had to decide, was it important for me to have everything perfect? Clean, perfect whites with nothing on them? Or was it more important for me to have a house that they had their laundry and everybody was happy?
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's just what it came down to. And maybe not everything was exactly the way I wanted it with the laundry.
Yeah. So if you don't know where to start, if you don't know how to answer that question, if somebody were to say, hey, what's important to you in your home, and you don't know where to start, download the ebook, because in there I give you, probably 25 words that would help describe your home. Things like loud, organized,
controlling,
playful,
you know, fearful, honest.
Yeah, messy, fun, encouraging.
Angry.
Yeah, and you literally can walk through and say, these are the words I want to describe our home. And then, so identify what is important to you. Now, let me tell you, this is really important. Not everything can be important. You can't have everything, right? So you have to pick, you know, 4 or 5 things that are super important to you. And then you begin to actually do those kinds of things. So for instance, if you want a home that's fun, I will tell you, like, the way your house looks, right? Is the way it sounds. So, like, for instance, we can control the mood in our house by the music, right? So when the kids get up in the morning, there's jazz music playing. It just creates a calm environment. Everybody's up, they're getting their food ready, they're making their breakfast, and it's calm.
And don't underestimate the power of this, because there is so much power in how you create your home. I can watch a child that is kind of distressed or a little moody, and they come down the stairs to the jazz and kind of has their, you know, it just brings peace to their soul. And after a while, you'll see them just kind of falling into, okay, you know, like, this isn't, it's going to be okay today. So I would just, you know, I would just encourage you to realize that it's not, I forget what I was going to say.
Oh no. The music, but, the power of music.
Yeah. It's not a bad, like, it really is. There's huge power in it. Right.
Right.
And I think with organization of your home, there's just something about a place for everything and everything in its place.
I know.
Right?
So good. Yep.
It brings so much peace, even for your children. If you can teach them that concept, it's just a game changer.
Yeah. No, I agree. So literally sit down, go to Starbucks or your favorite local coffee house, sit down and write out a list of things that are important to you. How do you want your home to feel? What is the environment you want in your home? Write them down. Second thing is, do those things. So if you want your home to be a place of encouragement, guess what you need to do when your kids walk in the door?
Yes, you model the way, absolutely.
You encourage them.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So if your kids walk in the door and drop their shoes and you yell at them, and that's your way, it's going to be difficult to create an environment of encouragement. So number one, decide what is important to you, write it down, and then begin to actually do those things. Encourage, play, be stimulate thoughtful conversation, create an environment that is that's honest, where you have honest, you give honest feedback to one another. So, yeah, that's really just how you do it. What do you want? Identify it. If you don't know how to, where to pick up, or what kind of words you would use to describe your home environment, download the ebook and listen to it. All right. So number one, decide what's important to you. Number two, do those things. And then, so listen, as we start to wrap up this podcast, I want to say this to you. As you are thinking about the environment in your home, if you have to choose between what is felt and what is held, choose the things that are felt. And here's what I mean. I've been in homes, and you probably have been too, that have the best toys, the coolest technology, the biggest rooms, the nicest food, but it feels really bad in there. There's just a lot of tension. There's a lot of anger, all right? I would say, the other thing I would say to you is that I've been in homes, and you probably have too. They don't have the best TV. They don't have the most expensive shoes. They don't have the newest phones, but it just feels great. There's laughter, and there's generosity, and it feels safe in this home. And so I would say to you as a dad, mom, if you have to choose between what is felt and what is held, choose the things that are felt. Choose a place that nurtures a safe, fun, generous, thoughtful environment. I cannot stress that enough to you.
Yes. 100% agree with you.
Cool. That's a good way to end right there with you 100% agreeing with me. It's a tremendous way to end. So that's, I think we funny. just wrap it up right there, huh?
Yeah, I think definitely. I really love the choose what is felt over what is held.
Yeah.
Love that.
And the cool thing is, guys, it's your environment. You get to create it. Determine what you want and then do those things, okay? That's a really, really big deal.
I thought as we were talking, I wanted to throw out, you know, it was interesting. Probably I want to say what, 3-4 months ago, we had, you know, moved here and to Alaska, and, you know, we were setting up our home, and it was really cool. I'd gotten the home kind of set up and put together, you know, for what, the third or fourth time in 4 years, something like that. But anyway,
fourth time in 5 years.
Something crazy. But I got it set up, and it was really cool to hear our youngest daughter. She came over and she looked at me and she said, "Mom, this is such a peaceful home."
Yeah.
And I want to say to you, parents, if you don't know, I mean, you should be able to pick out what your home is, but I even just challenge you, like, ask your kids. They'll tell you.
Yeah.
They'll, you know, like, maybe like put a list of words down and say, "Hey, pick a couple words that you feel like our home is."
That's good.
And, you know, cause kids are pretty truthful, you know, and you can start to analyze that way as well. So
it's good, babe.
Yeah.
As always. I 100% agree with you.
Okay. All right. Well, we're in a good spot.
Hey, listen,
then,
yeah, we are in a good spot. Hey, a couple resources we want to offer to you. Number one, we have an ebook. It's called Create a Great Environment. It really is what we've talked about today. If you forget what we've talked about, we'll share a link. You can download that resource for free. Secondly, we have a YouTube channel. It's First Half Parenting. Right now, we only have one video on there, but it's a good video.
And
right?
Hey, remember, it's the month of May.
It is the month of May. Yeah, there probably won't be many videos through the month of May. Check out our website, firsthalfparenting.com. And then finally, if this podcast is helpful for you, please recommend it to your friends. Please share it on social media. You know, we're trying to help parents enjoy the first half of the parenting journey. So you can catch it on Spotify, Podbean, or the Apple podcast as well. You can just look for First Half Parenting, and you'll have all the resources there. Hey, guys, thank you for sending in your questions. Keep sending them in. You can submit them on any of our social media platforms, or you can email us at paul@firsthalfparenting.com. All right, babe, any words of wisdom before we check out for the day?
No, just, oh, yes. Go create that environment, right?
Go, yes, babe, that's so good.
Go create the environment.
Go create a great environment. Yes. All right, anything else?
That's it.
All right, we're out of here. Have a good day, guys. See ya.
Bye.
You're listening to the First Half Parenting Podcast, hosted by Paul and Sherry Peterson.